B-Pod Studios.
That's an app. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
片付けを始める前に必要なのは理想の暮らしをイメージすることです。お家の中でどんな時間を過ごしたいですか？自分が理想の暮らしを送っている映像が頭に思い浮かべられるくらい細かくイメージしてみましょう。
How's the roast beef?
これはあなたがときめく人生を送るための
Ammonia is not contagious.
ファーストステップです。
Like, oh no!
Alright. 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. That is the sweet tones of Marie Kondo. Are you familiar with Marie Kondo?
No. Just from what you said yesterday, but fill people in on who she is, because I don't think it's a household name.
Okay, so there is a show that it's become an obsession for a lot of people, and this woman is a phenomenon. She's worth tons of money. Her name is Marie Kondo. I think she's 4'9". Like, she's really, really
Spinner!
Tiny. She is tiny, but she is a person who wrote this book a while back called Tidying Up with the Marie Kondo Way, the Marie Kondo Method. And what she does on this new show on Netflix is that she goes to people's homes that are just filled with clutter and walks in and helps them organize. Now, my wife started watching this show, and I was like, I'm not going to sit and watch this. I'm fascinated by it. First of all, there's something kind of amazing that in 30 minutes they go into these houses that are like something from Hoarders, and by the end of it, they've made it look like an IKEA showroom. You're like, oh my God, how do they do all this? And what they'll have to do is, when they go in, she has a translator with her, and she has everybody get on their knees and ask the house for permission to tidy it up, because there needs to be a nice energy within the house. And then there's
she's insane.
Pretty insane. And one of the first things you do is you take all of your clothes out of your closet and throw them on the bed. And one at a time, you grab each piece of clothing and you hold it and you ask, does this clothing bring me joy?
My wife would masturbate to this show.
Oh, it is women porn. It is porn for women, this show.
OCD.
Oh, yeah. So he goes, does this shirt give you joy? And if it does not, you say, well, thank you, shirt, for being in my life. And then you put it in a bag and you either throw it away or you donate it.
Well, this is odd, Rich, because it's perfect timing, because as we found out recently, Bird's family is packing up the truck and moving from Everett to Revere.
So, I mean, you want to talk about like a trek across the country. I don't know how long it's going to take for you guys to get yourself from one place to the next.
This is straight out of a novel.
I see Bird getting all of his friends and like a herd of ants bringing like a leaf across the front yard. They're just going to carry his furniture one by one.
Yeah, there's going to be they're going to run out of food, and someone's going to have to suckle from a woman, just like in the oh God, Steinbeck novel.
Or just run to Mike's Roast Beef.
Well, Mike's Roast Beef is close. I can just picture the crew, like, out of Steinbeck, just, like, trying to get to Revere. And so they're going to Revere.
Yep.
And
to, like, a three-mile trip, yes.
Right, and Bird is very upset because he's 37 and he's been living in his parents' house his entire life. Mm-hmm. And the room, apparently, at his new place is smaller. Yep. So, Ridge, this leads us to that he's going to have to get rid of some personal items.
So what better way to do it than use the Marie Kondo method? Nick and Bird went over to his room, which is on the third floor. So this is like a super cool room. It's like, you know.
The new room is on the first floor.
He does not like that one bit. They made him, and he thinks that it might be an attempt to get him out of the house from the parents. Isn't that right, Bird?
And to which he said, he threatened his parents that he was going to move out by December. And then we asked him, he said, maybe a year and a half from now, is what he said. So, all right. So Nick went to Bird's place yesterday to try, very much like this woman does, to kind of clean up the clutter in his life.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes.
All right, where are we?
You're in my room on the third floor.
And how long have you lived here?
I moved up here when I was 16, so.
Oh, that had to be a big day. I'm sorry that I interrupted.
That's right.
But I guess he's going to get the math wrong, I know. But I mean, can you imagine when you're 16, you're given the keys to the kingdom?
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes.
All right, where are we?
You're in my room on the third floor.
And how long have you lived here?
I moved up here when I was 16, so 19 years.
19 years, okay.
Wait, and you're 37 now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so 16 to 37 is 19 years?
No.
Okay.
No. No, it's not.
When I was 37, I had two kids and had been doing morning radio for 10 years.
I was 37.
I think both our kids were in school.
Yeah.
Divorced once, moved a couple of times.
No, I had a 7-year-old in 2010. I had kids in school and had been doing morning radio for 12 years when I was 37.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Bird answers phones like there's nobody's business.
19 years?
19 years, okay.
Wait, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Did you ever move out?
Yeah, well, I mean, I lived in the back, I mean, for 4 years.
That doesn't count.
All right, so I never left. I never came home, though.
He lived in the back? Like in a
where?
Tent?
He's getting finished, but I mean...
He stuck you in the garage somewhere?
Yeah, I moved out.
What is that?
Well,
now I'm like Fonzie. Now I live above the garage.
What does that mean?
I'm like Kirk Cameron in Growing Pains.
Right.
I got my own place.
It's like Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
Johnny Bravo.
It's my Greg for the Brady Bunch. Yeah. Had a disco ball in his bedroom.
Yeah, right. No. Dad gave me his office.
That's right.
And I turned it into something.
I never came home, though.
I just like how you said, yeah, I moved in the back. That doesn't count.
Yeah, but I never saw my family for months. Like, they'd be like, you can't say hi. I'm like, no. I'm actually working.
So you lived in the backyard.
No.
Of your own house.
Not the backyard. Yeah, there's a spare apartment. Like,
okay, that's
apartment.
Fine. You lived in the separate apartment.
Yeah.
And didn't see your family for a month. For months.
Yes. Yeah. It's during the summer. I didn't care. But I was like, you just come by and say hi once in a while. I'm like, no. I like being free and independent. Away from you guys.
In the back.
Free and independent.
In the back of the house I grew up in.
He's like Cassidy from On the Road. I mean, he has just pulled out all the roots. He is on an adventure, baby. It's like living free.
This is like when you were a kid, you went camping in the backyard.
Listen, man.
Yeah.
And you never left the tent.
Put it in neutral and save the gas, baby. We're going coast to coast. It's like it's something out of a Kerouac novel. He's really living wild and free. Except for meals and going to the bathroom. I was free except for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Even though you're right
but
there.
But you're not being impact.
Yeah, but I never see them. But that's okay.
I'm here to help you pack up because you guys are moving, right?
Yes, sir. Going to Riviera.
You've seen the show Tidying Up with Marie Kudo.
I know of it, but I never actually seen it. I know people who have seen it, though.
When she goes into a house for the first time, to feel more connected to the space, she greets the house. So go ahead and say hello to your space.
Hello, space. How are you? I'm doing well.
And the space just gives him the middle finger. All the times you've masturbated in here.
It's degenerate. Like, it's like this scene from like The Exorcist. The house just goes, get out.
Wait. Then the Honda Power goes, come in.
Tell the space your name and what do you do for work?
Hello, space. My name is Bird. I work in radio and I do security at Fenway Park. And once in a while, I do Lyft.
Then you're supposed to ask for the house to help you tidy it up.
House, I need your help with tidying up my room.
Okay. Let's get started, okay?
We're going to start with getting rid of stuff?
Yeah.
All right. This bureau's gone.
Would you say this bureau sparks joy?
It brings up some good memories. I did puke in this drawer once, New Year's Eve, and I was blackout drunk, and I pulled open the drawer like this. And I just puked all of my t-shirts. And I woke up the next morning and go, how the hell did I do that? That's one of my favorite memories of this drawer.
I like how he like opened, he goes just like this and he opened the drawer. The drawer. Like in case you couldn't envision it, here I did it just like this. I opened it.
Why were you opening your drawer?
I don't know.
He needed a place for his puke to go.
But that bureau is out of there. I mean, come on. It's time to go. Go siphon through other people's trash for a little while. All right, we'll have more of Bird. He's moving into a smaller space at his parents' house. And eventually him and his lady plan to move in together in a bigger bedroom at his parents' house. So we'll have all that.
It brings up some good memories. I did puke in the straw once.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's an app. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
片付けを始める前に必要なのは理想の暮らしをイメージすることです。お家の中でどんな時間を過ごしたいですか? 自分が理想の暮らしを送っている映像が頭に思い浮かべられるくらい細かくイメージしてみましょう。
How's the roast beef?
これはあなたがときめく人生を送るための
Ammonia is not contagious.
ファーストステップです。
Wait, I don't know.
All right. 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marie Kudo.
It brings up some good memories. I did puke in the straw once.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich in very sad news. Much like Grapes of Wrath, the Bird family is hiking from moving the wagon train from Everett to Revere, where not only it's a double indignity, not only is Bird forced to move to a smaller room, It is on the first floor where since he was 17, 16, he has been on the third floor like a king. All right, so we have learned that Bird puked in his drawer, and they continue to go through the room and find out what needs to go and what needs to stay.
So other than that, nothing. Think of all the memories that you and this bureau had.
Uh-huh. And puking incident.
Right.
When I found random money coming out of my pockets and shorts.
Yeah. Pants. And then you just say thank you.
Like in lottery. Found random money in my shorts.
It's found money.
It's like 50 cents.
Thank you.
What is this?
All right. It is Ted 2 doll.
That felt smooth. That felt really smooth.
So he talks. I'm not going to get rid of it because I think it's going to be worth money one day. I don't know.
Everything in that house is like a treasure trove of money. Remember when he had that like energy drink that they don't make anymore?
He still got it.
And he was convinced that it was worth like $50,000.
Because he's already talked about it before. He's got it, and I edited it out of this. But I mean, he's still got his Monster energy drink, which you could not buy in Massachusetts for several years, but you can buy now. But he still thinks it's going to be worth it.
Even if you couldn't buy it, like, what the hell is anyone going to want for that?
It's probably going to be worth a lot of money one day, the Ted 2 doll.
Have you ever watched Pawn Stars? Like, people literally have like pieces of the moon that they offer like $5 for.
Like, who's going to buy a tchotchke from Ted 2? The sequel. Much less the first one.
Yeah.
That felt smooth. That felt really smooth.
So he talks. I'm not going to get rid of it because I think it's going to be worth money one day. I don't know. I know it's Ted 2 and it's a teddy bear, but some schmuck maybe 10, 20 years down the line will want it.
So you really think this will cost money?
Not a lot. I mean, maybe.
How much money do you think this will get you?
Maybe right now, maybe $20 after that. Maybe another 10, 20 years, maybe 50. I don't know.
It's a Ted 2 doll. It's in perfect condition.
So it's a Ted 2 doll with a Patriots jersey on it.
Yes. Maybe if I get one of the players assigned, maybe a little bit more valuable. I don't know. I'll have to ask around.
It's in perfect condition.
First of all, fire me, Mr. Brady.
Can you imagine hanging on to something for 20 years to get $50? Like, say on, like, the moon, it's worth $50. I better hang on to this. It's going to be worth $50 someday.
So you're keeping this?
Yes, I'm keeping this.
It sparks joy.
Yes, it does. Because hopefully it'll make me a little bit of money. Not that much, but I don't care.
Next thing.
This was given to me as a gift. It's the Family Guy trilogy. So it's the Star Wars trilogy.
So you're keeping this?
Yes, I'm keeping this. I never opened it. People still have DVDs.
Not really.
No, it has never been opened, though.
You think that's going to be worth money?
Maybe.
Does it spark joy?
No.
Then I'm just, say thank
you. Thank you. Go. Thank you, Family Guy Trilogy, Star Wars edition. Okay. I thought it was going to be worth money, but now you...
The old DVD pack.
Wait, fine, you have DVDs, whatever. Like, it's unopened, it's going to be... Because they only made, like, 10 of them. in 20 years, who's going to have hung on to the Family Guy trilogy?
I mean, you essentially live in like a locked safe with all the valuables that are in there.
Well, he lives in a pawn shop. That's where he's got all the... I mean, we should have someone go in there and appraise all the valuables.
Oh, that would be the best. If we get one of those people Antiques Roadshow.
That's not nice.
It's not an appraise. His Monster Energy can.
Oh, boy.
It's like it's unopened. Like, whoa, Family Guy. I remember that.
I just imagine people walking into Bird's room and him imagining it being like the suitcase from Pulp Fiction. Just like gold. Oh.
Guys with monocles and like little brushes that they're dusting things off with.
Someone said the Ted 2 doll is part of Bird's 401k.
It is part of his 401k? Yeah, Bird's got a big 401k. Bird, you don't have a 401k, do you?
He does.
From what?
Had an old full-time job for 5 years.
Oh, okay, good. Don't liquidate that. You get punished. Believe me, I made a mistake. Cost me almost six figures there, boy. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Family Guy Trilogy, Star Wars edition. Okay. I thought it was going to be worth money, but now you killed my hopes and dreams. Thanks, Nick.
I'm just here to help.
Okay.
All right. How about that thing of lotion next to your bed?
It's going to be worth money one day. They don't make that lotion anymore.
Nick just going for the jugular.
My God, Nick.
Mods from my elbows.
Veered in that sucker like a cruise missile. There's the target. Right over there on the bedstead.
Take off your shoes because all the Kleenex could stick to your shoes.
Oh, man.
It's my favorite drawer. It's my hard sock drawer. This drawer weighs 60 pounds.
So certain kinds of socks go one drawer. Okay.
What's up with this lotion? Oh, I use it to push myself.
Not throwing that out.
This could be worse something one day.
Nope.
I envision a world where there's no more moisturizer. People are forced to use dry.
Thanks, Nick.
I'm just here to help.
Okay.
All right. How about that thing of lotion next to your bed?
I'll probably throw that out. It brings me no joy in my life. All right. You want to hear a funny story?
Sure.
So I was a Ninja Turtle one year for Halloween, and it is signed by Switchfoot.
You have a what?
A Donatello bow staff, legit wood one, and signed by Switchfoot.
How old are you?
25.
Wait, the Christian band Switchfoot?
The Meant to Live? Is that them?
I'm meant to live.
Okay, song, but that is...
So you had a Christian band sign a staff from the Ninja Turtles. Okay.
But this was at Halloween when you were 25?
Yeah, I was at a Halloween party working at another station. Switchfoot was there performing.
Well, don't give the station up because we'll lose all our listeners at the station that had Switchfoot performing. Wait a second. Turn the dial immediately. Switchfoot might be playing. By the way, I had him sign my lotion.
I'm having people send me the value on eBay of the Family Guy Star Wars Trilogy DVD, new, and it's $10 or best offer.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's not necessary. I'd fastball sign this bottle of Jergens.
Stroke 9.
Too clever.
Cool. Switchfoot, all right. So are you going to be keeping this?
Yes, I will be keeping this.
And this sparks joy?
Yes, it does.
Okay, why is that?
Because I was working on a radio event, and me and co-workers are dressed up as the Ninja Turtles, and Switchfoot came up to us and said, hey, we got a picture of the Ninja Turtles. I'm like, yeah, sure. Then I said, out of the blue, do you want to sell my bow staff? He's like, yeah, why not?
You have a Pokemon, and they asked, do you have any money?
By the way, somebody said this is literally the scene in Step Brothers of having his sword signed by Randy Jackson.
Yeah.
He's got a bow staff signed by Switchfoot.
Now, Switchfoot asked if they would take a picture, and then they asked if they could help them with any odd jobs. Switchfoot.
Didn't Hardy have, like, a Coke bottle or something that was drank by a member of Veruca Salt, and he saved it and tried to sell it?
No. Like, he was, like, super into this girl in a band.
Veruca Salt, right?
Okay, yeah, and so...
Can't fight the seether.
But, apparently he was, like, real into her.
That's creepy.
Yeah, I think that's why he tells the tale. You know, I smooched with the lead singer of a certain 90s hall band. But I do not kiss and tell. Joy.
You have a Pokemon vibrator next to your bed.
This is for your back. I'll get rid of this.
It's for your back, underneath your belt.
So Nick's just like going, I mean, you've murdered Bird.
Jesus, God.
You go with a lotion bottle and you go, why do you have a Pokemon vibrator?
Well, they go together.
That's a good point. Yeah, Package deal.
It's for your back side. It's for your back. Under your trousers.
What did Bird ever do to you, Nick?
Listen, Bird enjoys all these things. He loves... not putting anything away that shows that he pleasures himself.
I don't even think it works.
So what's that? Why are you...
So I don't know where or how I got this, but I have it. And I'll probably give this to my nephew because he likes to push the button and likes to hear...
Drop a will.
Bird lives in, like, Pee Wee Herman's room. Remember the beginning of the Pee Wee Herman movie? He gets out of bed and he's got the bunny slippers, and then he starts playing with a little, like, bazooka and the dinosaur head.
I'll probably give this to my nephew and my will. I here bequeath you the bottle of Jergens in this thing that says gold.
So, I'm going to get rid of this. Thank you for the great memories.
Why do you have so many toy guns?
So this I'm taking with me. It's a bug assault. So there's a fly or spider in the room. I just pump it once and shoot it, and it dies. The salt kills it, and it kills the bug.
You have so many toy guns.
No, I don't. I have like two or three. All right, I'll get rid of this one.
Oh, my God.
What, I shoot my girlfriend with it? Yeah, see? Okay.
Holy shit.
Yep. Ah!
Wait, what's going on?
Did you shoot yourself?
No, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on there? Why is he swearing?
I have a Nerf gun. It's a two shooter, and Nick was shooting at me. That's all.
Why do you have a Nerf gun in your room?
I don't know, but these two idiots are like, why is anyone swearing over the Nerf gun?
I just like to keep it around because my girlfriend aggravates me. I'll just shoot her with it.
I don't care that you have a Nerf. I don't even care that you have a Nerf gun.
But you're shooting Nick?
No, but I don't.
No, Nick's shooting him.
I don't understand. What the hell's going on between the two of you? Ah! Have a Nerf gun all you want. Have 10 Nerf guns.
All I know is Nick went for the throat in this interview. Seriously.
How about that thing of lotion next to your bed?
Honest to God, we were doing fine. They were getting along, and then Nick went rogue. I mean, what happened?
Ma! Don't come in. I'm changing.
Ah! Those are the sounds that are being made.
Ah! All right. Next adventure is to go into his room with a black light.
Oh, no. I don't know if he wants to. Nick, not on board with that.
No, thank you, Family Guy Trilogy, Star Wars edition.
Yeah, that's right.
Unopened. Now you have to...
Why do you have so many toy guns?
Ah!
case someone breaks in.
I was blackout drunk, and I pulled open the drawer like this, and I just puked all of my T-shirts.
I'm the fastest gun in the West. Can you listen to those two idiots playing with the guns?
All day.
I mean, idiots are just having the time of their lives with those dumb guns.
Oh, that's just the best.
Like, Nick's feeling all superior.
And Nick couldn't resist, like, picking up the gun.
No.
Listen, you have so many toy guns.
No, I don't. I have, like, two or three. All right, I'll get rid of this one.
Oh, my God.
What, I shoot my girlfriend with it? Yeah, see? Okay.
Holy shit.
Yep.
I mean, can you listen to those two morons playing with the Nerf gun?
Like, why do you have so many toy guns?
Like, Nick's coming out of this all cool, and then they start playing with the toy guns, and he can't resist. Oh, you two.
How about that thing of lotion next to your bed?
Why did you just use both?
Nick's so happy that Bert's here. He takes so much of the pressure off. But listen, Bert, thank you for letting us into your room again. We do appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with pleasuring yourself. We all do it, except for Rich.
I'm not going to get rid of it because I think it's going to be worth money one day.
Of course it will.
What you find value in is very interesting. All right. Well, listen, if you didn't hear it this time, you can hear it again tomorrow. Venture into Bert's room.
Why do you have so many toy guns?
I mean, that's the thing. No, I don't. I only got like three or four.
No, I couldn't figure out what's going on, and they were just playing with the guns and swearing and
and shooting each other until they puke.
Can you imagine? Brings up some good memories. I did puke in the straw once.
Can you imagine if your kid was 37 and still living in your house?
The only sound you heard upstairs was.
You just heard.
How about that thing of lotion next to your bed?
I know that this is going to come back and haunt me. My kids are going to be in my house when they're 37. You can't move. You can't. You have no disposable income. You can't downsize. But all right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yes. There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Please welcome JD and the Straight Shot.
Wash away my troubles. Wash away my pain. With the rain in Shambhala. Wash away my sorrow. Wash away my shame with the rain in Shambhala. Everyone is helpful. Everyone is kind.
That is the sound of the Emperor's New Clothes. That is a dude who has so much money that no one has the heart around him to tell him, dude, what are you doing? James Dolan, the owner of the New York Knicks, is another person. I don't understand the fascination, but sometimes these billionaires, and it's not even billionaires. It's not even self-made billionaires. It's usually like the son of somebody who had a ton of money.
Celtics used to have an owner like that.
Well, somebody who just like grew up in money, and then all of a sudden they're like, dude, I'm just going to sing the blues. I'm just going to just honk on this bobo here and teach people about the simple life. And you're like, dude, you have no connection to that kind of lifestyle at all. But James Dolan is a horrible person. And I'm glad that finally that everything's come to roost. And this offseason has been just as bad as a disaster as you can have for the owner of a team. There's certain teams that can't get free agents. I understand if you're in a market like Memphis, or you're in a market like Charlotte, and you're just always out of it because no one wants to move there. But when you are literally in the best position in the league to get anyone that you want, the fact that you cleared out, you got rid of Porzingis to clear enough room to get all of this space for max, these max players, and these like at least two, maybe even three max contracts. And you're in the number one media market where everyone wants to play, and you have the greatest arena in all of sports they call Madison Square Garden, and you couldn't get one of the handful of superstars that were available this offseason. It's absolutely hysterical. And it's because, and by the way, there's a lot of articles that came out just this week that are saying that James Dolan's got to go. It's people are calling for him to leave. And I wouldn't feel this happy about it if he wasn't such a colossal prick.
Yeah.
So the one thing about James Dolan that we know is that he is the thinnest skin of any human being on the planet. So he has kicked people out of Madison Square Garden and taken away their season tickets because they dare criticize his ownership of the team. This is from this past season. And here was a back and forth exchange that was caught on video between a fan who had season tickets and James Dolan.
Sell the team!
You think I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
Yeah, that's rude.
What's your opinion?
No, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
And that was it. The guy got his season tickets taken away. And, of course, there was a huge backlash because it went viral. And he was like, oh, well, you know, I really didn't mean to blah, 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 blah.
Remember Charles Oakley got tossed?
Charles Oakley got tossed.
That's a guy who put most of what he had left into his time with the Knicks.
But James Dolan, for years, has been doing his tour with his band, JD and the Straight Shot, which is, by the way, JD and the Straight Shot's hysterical because he hired these talented musicians around him. They're hired guns, people who are these pros.
Right.
And he insists on saying, listen to this song and think, why is he singing? If he wasn't in this, it'd be probably pretty good. But why is he singing over this person with a perfect voice?
Better find a church. Better find it soon.
It's like your drunk uncle singing to the radio. Like, she's probably like Juilliard trained. She probably wait till like, you know, what's the place that one of the conservatories? She's probably like got like a million degrees of like singing. And this guy's like, I got this. So he even got sued, as a matter of fact, by the share owners for Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks because he was touring with his band too much. And all of the shows that he plays, people are yelling at him because they're not good. Or he ruins it. It's like having like a guy just out of tune and pitchy to go up there. And like he gets heckled, of course, by Knicks fans as well and a whole bunch of other people. But I mean, he's played at a music festival before where he stopped. By the way, no one was in front of his stage. It's one of those outdoor music festivals where just accidentally you probably have like 200, 300 people milling in front of you. But there was no one in front of the stage except for a guy that had a sign that said sell the Knicks standing in front of him. Here's how that went.
Having a relationship was not appropriate. Oh no. You. Come on up. Why are you here? You're a fan of music and you're holding up that sign? Don't you think that that's a little negative? You don't, anybody else here think it's a little negative? I'm gonna invite you to leave. What do you say? So everybody else can have a good time. Okay, can you do that now? Thank you. Goodbye.
There's like no one there. It's an outdoor festival.
I mean,
way to get the crowd on your side there, yeah. James Dolan. Okay, so which brings us to this. So about 2 months ago, we found out, and I found out like live on the air, that JD and the Straight Shot were coming to the City Winery in Boston. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be great. I mean, he's going to get killed. You don't know who likes James Dolan here. And we received a call from the great John from Vegas. John from Vegas, who is a mastermind at pulling off very strange and sometimes completely sadistic stunts. But he was the guy behind all the Sarge Sucks calls. He got on Hannity. He got on Francesi. He's gotten everywhere. But he's just really good at peeing on the anthill. He was the one who completely hijacked the Pucks and Paddles to make it so, at the time, there was a little bit of a tiff between our show and Bertrand. Of course, that's all gone. But he hired the best ping pong player in all of New England and made him play as Beatle's partner because Beatle had said on the air he didn't want to do it. So he had to play the entire event. And then when they won, he got up there and started yelling, "Sarge sucks." All the Bruins are confused by what was going on. I think a lot of people were confused. But he is a mastermind, and he had told us that he had planned something for the James Dolan City Winery show that was this upcoming Sunday. And on top of that, John from Vegas came out to our Meatballs in Manhattan's, and it looked like he was recruiting people. So I don't know what he was doing. I told him I wanted to stay away from it. I wanted to be completely surprised. But then I find out that James Dolan in the Straight Shot, all the other shows seem to be just fine, but out of nowhere, he has canceled the show in Boston. He canceled the show this weekend.
Now, the shows afterwards are still going.
And beforehand. He has and one, beforehand. I think, like that's this Friday.
So it's just Boston.
It's just the Boston show. And, I mean, I honestly think it's because, and I did this all wrong. We shouldn't have talked about it on the air, but it was an organic thing that happened. I found out it was there. John called in, and it got out. And I honestly think, as thin-skinned as this guy is, somebody told his people that there was a person who was planning on either heckling or I don't even know what the plan was, but something was going to happen at the event. So we have on the phone, now that it's been canceled, I got to find out what the hell this guy's plan was. John from Vegas is on the phone with us right now. John, good morning. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, guys. Hey.
All right. What the hell happened with the – what did you hear about this JD and the Straight Shot show?
So two nights ago, I knew something was up. Some of the people I had recently recruited, I sent them the link to go buy the seats, and you have, like, the select seating. You can pick your table, pick your seat, all that. And they told me the link was dead. So I looked into that, and they had actually moved the venue from at the main room at the City Winery to a smaller room, which was only general admission. So immediately that was weird. So I also go onto the JD and the Straight Shot website and go on their recent events or upcoming events. And the Boston date is just gone. No explanation, no miss, there's a reason for it. And again, they're still playing this Friday, they're still playing next Friday, that show is just missing. So I knew something was up. So I called the venue all day yesterday, multiple times. They had no idea what was going on. They said they hadn't received anything official. And then finally yesterday at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, the venue sent an email, still very vague, just said, due to unforeseen circumstances, JD and the Straight Shot will not be playing. The other acts will still be going on. We hope to see you, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know exactly how or why they're canceling. I did reach out to a lot of media members, but I tried to pick very carefully so nothing would get leaked. I was a little worried talking about it on air with you. It was going to ruin it.
But, I know. We blew it.
That's why I tried to be pretty vague when we called. But so I don't want to take 100% credit that, you know, that's why they canceled the show. But I have an inkling. There's just no other explanation. I've actually got a few people reaching out to their publicist to see if there's any reason they can give. But, so far there's nothing.
All right, so if you don't mind me asking, what was the plan?
So we went through a few different iterations, and as we got more people involved, the plan changed a little bit. So initially, we were going to disrupt the entire show. But I have a few friends who have played in bands over the years, and they were concerned that to the other acts, that wouldn't be very fair. So we decided, what can we do to make it for the other acts where it's fine and it only ruins it for JD?
Yeah, that would be better. And you know what, to be quite honest, if you would have come on the next morning and said that you screwed with the opening bands, I would have been a little pissed. I would have been like, you know what, they didn't deserve it. They're just going out there trying to do their thing. You know, none of them are associated with James Dolan, so I thought that was a wise move.
Yeah, and when I looked into the other acts, so they're up-and-coming, you know, artists and all that. So exactly. So we wanted to say, no, it's not mess with them. So we kind of spun that to our advantage where we were going to be the perfect audience, for the other bands. So before JD comes on, he thinks he's got the best crowd of the entire tour. Everybody's freaking out, singing along the songs. And then when he finally was going to step on stage, we were just going to meet him with stone silence. So at the beginning, no heckling, no nothing. He just comes out looking for the ovation. Absolutely nothing. And as they navigated that, after each song, we were going to have random plants in the audience, one at a time, stand up and heckle that way. So eventually we create an issue where after 3, 4, 5 songs, they come to expect it, and then you can play off of that. Then one time you don't have anybody do it, then you have a long, like, 15-second pause and build the drama, and then have somebody do it. And we had a few signs rigged up, some positive, some negative, some positive on the front, some negative on the back. There was we were going to kind of play it by ear, kind of like a little bit of, jazz on our end and see what was going to work.
Like, what were the positive and negative signs? Like, what were some of the signs that you were going to put up there?
So, like, on the front, it would just be, you know, like, give me a straight shot of JD, and then on the back, just be like, never mind. You know, so if you were to look at it, maybe get a little laugh out of him, or at least a little reaction out of him.
I do like the plan that instead of everyone doing it once, I like it. Just one person during one song, and they throw them out, and then you wait to the next one, then another. So that way, it's just, they know it's going to happen. It's like the whack-a-mole, like, constantly, right. Just one after the next, and it would be so great. You're right. After, like, four or five of them doing that, then just being nothing, and then thinking
it's sort of the same vein as, like, a lot of the Sarge Sucks, like, with the Sarge Psycho and all that, is once you get three or four to a show in, like, an hour, the show has to stop taking calls, right? So yeah. I felt like once they had three or four, would he just stop? Would they just walk off?
No.
You know, like...
There's no stopping JD.
We had a lot of possibilities.
All right. I this is a question, John. You can choose to answer this or not answer this. Can you ballpark how many people you got involved with this?
So... I had a lot of maybes, but I've come to find out doing this over the last year or so that the maybes usually are no's. So the actual confirmed ticket sales, we had 18 to 20.
Oh my God! That's awesome.
How many maybes?
So maybes, I had like probably 50 to 60. But like I said, those are like people that said, "Oh, I might make it. I'll have to see on Sunday." And those are usually never going to come through.
I've heard that the Bruins Avengers reached out. I guess they were all involved. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I was. I went out to this parade in Randolph to meet a bunch of the Bruins Avengers to try to recruit them. I actually worked my way into a group text with a lot of them, so I've been bothering them over the last couple weeks. Uh-huh. And then a few of them, the Chief was a big help. The Bruins Luchadors were a big help. They were recruiting some of the other super fans.
I mean, dude, I'm so bummed.
It was really going to be an awesome thing.
I'm so bummed that this isn't happening. God, that would have been so epic. And like Nick was planning on going out and like videotaping the whole thing. Oh, but that sucks. I just love the fact that you've like tried to like contact PR people to find the real reasoning behind their canceling. You had Charlotte Wilder, the writer, was going to be there and all. I mean, this was phenomenal. And it sucks that it ended up. And I think it's my fault. I shouldn't have talked about it on the air. I shouldn't have done it.
I was worried about it, but in my head, I guess I kind of was hoping that he was big enough for, like, how do you get a message to James Dolan? Like, what's somebody going to send an email to the Knicks, be like, hey, look out for this?
Okay.
I was hoping that
John, they wouldn't
pull it off.
I hate to interrupt. There is a theory that is going around. There's a theory that, unfortunately, is going around the office right now, and everyone seems to be nodding their head that I'm looking at, and that is that a certain person might have hijacked this whole thing that you had set up as a means of revenge. Any idea?
Sarge was involved.
I think who?
You think Sarge was involved?
I think there might be a chance that Sarge might have hijacked this whole thing as revenge on you.
I didn't want to be the one to say it, but I have people looking into that at the moment, trust me.
How are they looking into that?
He has people? You have people looking into this?
I have people in Sarge's inner circle who do communicate with me, so we'll leave it at that.
How great would it be if Sarge was the one who hijacked this?
You know what? Sarge is going to be working the midday show. He's going to be here before we're done.
And Rich, he's, of course, going to deny
it. Maybe we can ask. Well,
see, that's the thing.
You got to ask.
Unless you find out from the inner circle that it was indeed him.
Interesting.
Because Sarge hates you.
Yeah.
Like, hates you.
I mean, you remember, John, I got a nice picture of the three of you together. You, Sarge, and me at the Pucks and Paddles. And he seemed all right. But, you know, I think deep down there is that hatred involved.
What's up, Zo? Sarge here.
Yeah.
I would not put it past him to do that. And you know what? To be quite honest, if he did that, I got to give him a little bit of respect. But if you find out that it's him, though... Oh, I can't even imagine. John, I never want to be on your bad side. I always say that much.
No kidding.
You're a fairly devious gentleman. you're one of those guys that could be like a super criminal if you really put your mind to be quite honest. Let us know if you find out anything on that front from your insiders, on both sides, what about James Dolan actually canceling and also about the Sarge thing. I don't know if Sarge had anything to do with it. That is just a speculation. It's a decent theory that has been thrown out there into the universe.
Yeah, I will definitely look into it, let you guys know what I find out. And even if I do find that something happened and there's another reason why JD canceled, I'll probably still just take credit for it. But I'll let you guys know.
All right, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later. So that's the great John from Vegas. Oh, my goodness gracious, what that would have been. He had like 18 to 20 definites and up to 60 possible.
You know how hard that is to do?
Dude, it's
and
ridiculous.
What the dedication necessary to pull that off?
Oh, how about like making them to commit to buying like a $25 ticket and like on a Sunday night?
Yeah.
Go down to like where the TD Garden is, find parking and do all that?
For a guy to just want to have fun at a show, but I mean, you have to find 18 to 20 like-minded people to be on board with this and go, I'll hold the sign early.
God, our listeners are maniacs.
They are. They're crazy.
Oh, that would have been so great. That would have been unbelievable. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen, and it might have actually been my fault. So. What was? What could have been? We'll be back in a moment as I cry in our missed opportunity.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.